is one order in the building.
You know what time it is, baby. One Order Radio, 6 o'clock Blitz, CJSF 90.1 FM. We in the building right now. I'm your host, Supreme Freedom, a.k.a. Hard Body Dreams.
Along Guilty Black, G-U-I-L-T-Y. Brilliance illuminating another conscious knowledge, black. What's going on, big man?
I don't know, bro. I don't know what's going on.
We got Digital in the building.
Digital's in the place, yo. What's going on, people?
Yeah, baby. A lot of stuff going on out here.
Don't wait up.
Elections and all that. We gonna be here for a minute. We counting votes. Who won this thing, baby?
Ugh.
The liberals.
Carney.
Banker.
Kearney.
Canada just gave their country to a banker. Yes. And that's what it is, people. And will Polly have survived? Jagmeet did not survive.
My man resigned.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's crazy, right? You know, sometimes you team up with the wrong team for certain people. Right, and they don't forget that, right?
Mm-hmm.
They hold you to the fire and stuff like that. But anyway, baby, how's the weather?
Man, it's a beautiful day here in Victoria Law now, man. Van City is looking beautiful. Summer's here early, and you know, I love that. You know what I mean? I'd be right by the beach too, so I got that luxury of being able to step out of my crib, and the beach is right there, so. Yeah, I'm going to be spending lots of time there this summer. You know that.
My man spoiled, eh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we work hard to get to where we are today. So
no doubt, baby.
We deserve to enjoy the spoils.
Why not you, baby? You know what I mean?
That's the slogan. Why not you?
Yeah.
You know?
For real, man.
We got a special guest in the building tonight.
Yeah, baby. You know, Ground Roots. Ground Roots, we got
Five
Ground Roots
in
out
the
here.
Building, Mr. Eclipse.
Yeah, no doubt, man. You know what I mean? One of Van City's finest. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, baby.
It's gonna be a beautiful interview tonight, and you know, Listener Appreciation Week is coming up next week, and you know, we always love to shout out the listener and pay homage and always, you know, show supreme gratitude to you, you know, especially for the ones who've been staying tapped in with us since we started this show. And you know, I want to send a shout out to Chris. If you're listening in, brother, appreciate you and your emails and showing love for this. And you know, even all those other people who are tapping in, you know, who are tapping in constantly and walking and talking with us and, you know, being a part of this thing. We love you. We got a lot of appreciation for you, you know.
Most definitely. And, yo, Eclipse, baby, what's up?
Yo, what's up? What's good?
How you doing? How you feeling?
Man, I'm alive, loving life, and glad to be here, you dig?
No doubt.
Yeah, man, I see, you know, on the Facebook and the socials and stuff and the gram, man. Yo, you making it happen, my brother.
Yeah, we got some things going on, man. Lots to discuss, lots going on. And, you know, we're just trying to build the community and bring everybody back together like it used to be in the day. You know?
I'm telling you, man, and the way you're bringing it, man, you give me that block party feeling, you know. And, you know, that tragedy that went on, you know. Last on Saturday, was it?
Yeah, this big tragedy here for the city, man.
You know, man, I felt that, man. I'm sure everybody, you know, if you grew up here and stuff like that, and you know, you claim yourself as a Vancouverite, you know, or BC right, you know, you're gonna feel that. because we never had that here, you know?
True. Right now, more than ever, we need to bring everybody together and make sure that everybody's safe, you dig?
Exactly. And, you know, we're going to have to take some serious security precautions, right? And people are going to have to understand it's, you know, it's not like, oh, the government's trying to hold me down. It's, no, we got to keep people safe out here, man. You know, because, you know, babies were lost, you know. I know somebody who knows one of the ladies who got killed. She went to school with her in the Philippines and stuff like that. Mm. You know, and it's affected everybody, right? What's your views on that there, Marshall?
Man, I think it's totally unfortunate, you know, that when a community tries to come together and celebrate and, you know, have everyone in good spirits and high spirits, and then something like that comes along and just ruins lives and the day, let alone, you know, the year. It's a crappy start to the new year. But you know what? We will get over it. We will all come together, and us here with you guys, as well as with Firestorm Entertainment, we're about trying to make change, and we're definitely going to support the community and help them out any ways we can.
Most definitely. And, you know, we can't be deterred from these type of actions that people want to, you know, inflict on us, right? We have to stay vigilant and strong and keep people coming together, right?
That's right.
And, you know, next block party next year, it should be bigger than ever. Right?
That's right.
It should be bigger than ever, and let people, you know, with bad minds know that they're not going to stop all of us, right?
True that.
You know, you could take a couple, but you're not going to take all of us, and we're just going to be stronger, and we're going to stay there for the other people who passed away, right? We're going to bring that strength forward, you know?
Yes, sir.
True indeed, man.
Was it not said that the guy was, he had some mental issues?
He had a mental team. He had a team, not just, you know, one doctor or whatever, one-on-one. He had a team, right? And, I mean, no one can, you know, you can't blame the team, right? You know, you never know what somebody's going to do till they do it, right? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man.
That's very common, right? Like, people who are in the mental health field and people who are suffering from mental health, like, yeah, they have more than one person, you know what I'm saying? Like, especially, like, when you're in a mental health housing, you know, because they have special mental health housing, like, actually, like, up on Fraser and 41st there, they have a mental health housing. And, you know, it's a serious thing, right? It's a serious thing, man. And I'm sure, obviously, when you're, you know, we don't know the individual, so we don't know exactly what they were thinking.
They have mental issues.
You know, like, yeah, he was known to the police and whatnot, and it's sad. It's a very, obviously, it's a straight tragedy.
Very much.
And I'm sure people probably are, like, you know, not only feeling, like, sadness and
anger.
And anger, you know? And you, I think, know. That it's a tough one. It's a tough, because if, you know, if it is mental health, right, then I guarantee you that, you know, the courts are going to look at it from a different perspective as somebody who was in their right mind, in their sane mind, and did something like that, right? And I'm sure that may cause a lot of uproar in the community as well, for people that may not understand. But, you know, it's hard, obviously, to see that when you're in sadness and anger about losing somebody, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, this guy lost his wife, I think it was his daughter. And somebody else, the guy from Colombia, right? And, I mean, you know, yesterday you had your whole family, and then today, you know, you're solo, mm-hmm. right? And, yeah, I don't know if you can ever let that go, right? It's mm-hmm. going to take a lot of work, you know? Mm-hmm. It's going to take a lot of work. Like he said, you know, my family came here. You know, I think maybe it was his mother, his mother-in-law. But, yeah, his family came here, you know, from Colombia to make a better life. And tragedy happens, right? And
tragedies happen everywhere, man.
I understand what you're saying, but I mean, you know, like, just the story, right? Just the story. And it's a sad reality. But hey, baby, we're going to brighten it up. You know, we're going to keep the music flowing this week. We got Eclipse in the house.
True indeed.
And we're going to get back to y'all real soon. Let's go, baby.
Yo, we got a content warning.
We got a content warning.
Explicit lyrics.
Okay.
Okay.
That's how we starting it, I guess.
But it is necessary.
Okay.
All right, then.
Fire! Yo, baby, we back, you know, having some difficulties up in here, you know, with the system right now, just to be honest with y'all. So, Eclipse, man, tell me.
Yeah.
How do you even get into hip-hop here, man?
Man, so, for those that don't know, I'm old as hell. I'm nearing 50 years old. I've been doing the music since 1998. Basically, when I moved out here in 86 in BC here, I clicked up with some of the family, and, you know, my family itself was always into music and stuff, and my sister was doing her thing out here, and she got me into the music scene back in the late 90s, and since then, it kind of just took off, man. I've been running different clubs and promoting and doing music and throwing shows and performing and stuff ever since.
So you were born in New Orleans, right?
Lafayette, Louisiana. Yeah.
Louisiana. So what was Lafayette?
Mm. He's a Southern boy. Mm.
Yeah. Went from Lafayette, Louisiana to Winnipeg.
Oh.
And then from Winnipeg out here to BC.
So what was it like growing up as a young boy in Louisiana? Talk to us about that.
You know what? Actually, I had a pretty good life. My family was like, my American side of the family are mostly, you know, churchgoers and really Southern, right? So mm-hmm. I was always in church and stuff with my moms. My dad was in the Air Force. And then when my dad and mom got separated, my mom's from Winnipeg. So we came back to Canada with my mom and went to Winnipeg and lived out there for about 10 years before coming to BC. But it was good. Everything that I remember growing up was good. I know they got huge sewer rats out there, so that was one of my problems I had out there. But rather than that, man, it was nothing but good living, you know.
Oh, minus 40 didn't bother you?
No, that's in Winnipeg. In Louisiana. Yeah. Louisiana got the sewer rats and it was good living. Going to Winnipeg, it was below minus 40. And it was such a cultural shock. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, I find I'm more grounded here than I would have been if I would have stayed out there, you know.
So why the move to Winnipeg? Like, why did you move with your mom and your father, or just your mom?
No, just my mom and my sister.
Okay.
And myself came back to Canada. My mom and dad got separation or a divorce or whatever it was when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And then we moved back to Winnipeg, and I did a little couple of years in elementary in Winnipeg, and then came to BC in 86, man.
Expo.
Yeah.
Mm. And now, is your mother Canadian or is she American?
My mom is Canadian. Me, my sister, and my dad are all American.
Mm-hmm. And do you still have...
I'm dual citizen.
Dual citizenship.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Ma, I love you, but you slipped on not getting me that dual citizenship, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, my mom's from the States, too, bro. I mean, my dad allegedly was from there, too. But, you know, that dual citizenship is... You know, I wonder.
It's a hard one to get, especially with everything going on right now in the States. Sheesh.
Yeah.
It's a tough go for the last couple of years for everybody everywhere, you know. But I'm happy that I'm still able to do my thing on both sides of the border. And, you know, we're about to make some stuff happen in the next couple of years, bro, for real.
And so, Where have you gone in the States?
Geez, so I've been to L.A., Vegas, Portland, Louisiana, Baltimore. My sister's actually out in Baltimore, Maryland right now. Mm. North Cackalack, North Carolina, for those that don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was in Virginia for a minute, too.
V.A.?
Yeah.
Mm. Now, tell me, in all of those, places... What do you feel had the best hip hop scene if you were checking that out when you was out there?
For me, Louisiana was a huge experience. The last time I was out there was I think it was in 2005 or 2006, mm-hmm. Right when Katrina hit. We went back there for relief for Katrina, mm-hmm. and my boy B Diamond ended up hooking us up with Lil Wayne and Juvenile and got mm-hmm. them on our first album we put out in 2006. It was a mixtape called The Block Boys.
Block Boys, I saw that on your bio.
Yes, man. So we went and did that, had them out there, helped with Katrina, and Louisiana's pumping.
Okay, and so did you get to, like, rock with Wayne and Juvie?
I am on the track with them. I did not record with them in the flesh, but, okay. you know, the connections were there to yeah. make it all happen, and yeah. we're on the tracks with them, yeah.
No, that's peace, man. I mean, I'm sure that's one. What would you say that that's one of your biggest accomplishments as an artist?
I would say in the beginning, it was one of my biggest accomplishments as an artist, because before 2006, when we released that record, it was more just me performing at clubs, doing freestyle battles and competitions, mm-hmm. and more on the promotion side. And that brought me to the forefront of my music game. Mm-hmm. And then after that album released, I went through a little hiatus, and I popped back in 2019. Mm-hmm. So in 2006, I think I was at my peak. Mm-hmm. And then now, after the hiatus, coming back, I'm rebuilding my connection with the people, and, you know, we're getting things done. And it's been a little bit slower of a process, but I'm pretty proud of where I'm at now, man, and I'm happy, you know?
Mm-hmm. So tell the audience, like, what made you want to get into doing hip hop music? I mean, and do you come from you said, you know, you spent time in the church, and was you in the choir? Do you come from a musical background in your family?
Yes, I do. My sister was a singer here in Vancouver for a while herself as well before she moved back to the States. Mm-hmm. My mother and my grandmother were in the church choir. I taught in our church choir in Winnipeg. Just for those that don't know, mm-hmm. my family owns the very first black church in Canada. It's on Winnipeg, Manitoba. It's wow. the Pilgrim Baptist Church. You can look them up on YouTube or whatever else too. And I taught the choir there for a little bit. Mm. And I've been into hip-hop since I moved to BC. You know, I was more into the soul and the jazz and you know, like Motown and all that shit. Part of my language, the stuff my mom used to listen to back in the day and stuff. Yep. But when I came to BC, man, I found hip-hop, and, you know, I just went with it, man. It was like water and oil. They didn't mix, but we made it work, you know?
Oh, man. And, like, you know, coming from a religious background, did you ever get any, did you ever have any family that was like, you know, oh, that's devil music? And
no, everybody supported everything that I've ever done my entire life, you know, and, mm-hmm. You know, I have some family members that don't like all the swearing and cuss words and stuff, but they mm-hmm. still rock to my music. You know, they'll mm-hmm. still play it mm-hmm. for their friends, or they'll play a video mm-hmm. and they're telling somebody about me or whatever, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, I've never had any negative feedback from family.
Mm. That's important, man, you know, to have, you know, people in your corner. Talk to the audience, man. Tell them how important is it to... if you're an artist, like, to either have some sort of mentorship or have, you know, solid support around you, like, how important that is, especially for, like, you know, solo artists, right? I mean, because there's a lot, you know, what I see, especially nowadays, is a lot of solo artists, right? Whereas, you know, in the 90s and early 2000s, you had a lot of groups, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, talk to the audience about that.
I think it's really big to have support and a support team and people that believe in you. If you have a bunch of people that don't believe in you or only around you to benefit from what you can do for them or what you can give them, then those are the wrong people for you. Mm. Having a team isn't always necessary, but having somebody believe in you builds your confidence and makes you want to do more. Mm. You know what I mean? So for me, I've had both situations. I've had people that tried to take advantage, and I've had people that are willing and giving to me. My boy Scoob, I've been rocking with him since day one. We've been best friends for 37 years. Mm. We started our group back in 98, which we call S&E, Scoob and Eclipse. Mm. And to this day, we still rocking together and pushing hard. We also own our company together, Firestorm Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's kind of like a movement, man. And, you know, thankfully, we've had good people around us to help support our movement. And it's just been growing and growing ever since.
Mm-hmm. No, man, it's definitely. And would you say that, like, you had anybody mentoring you, or when you first started becoming an MC, like, or is it something, you know?
It's in the blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as mentoring goes, no. I think I tried to emulate a lot of people that I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I seen them doing it, so I was hanging around trying to find out how the scene went. And, you know, took the points and the key things out of that and just kind of went and did it myself and then hooked up with Scoob. And together we just made our thing, our thing, you know what I mean? But these days I do recommend having mentors because, you know, the youth is a little bit lost these days in our generation. We had to be in when the lights turned on. And, you know, we'd get our asses whooped if we talked back and stuff. These days, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
So I believe that if kids did have mentor and wanted to pursue hip-hop music, it would be a good look on them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, with music, just like anything else, it takes discipline.
Yeah, it takes discipline, it takes consistency. How important is it, do you think, for somebody who may be just getting into the rap game, how important do you think it is for them to do the knowledge to, you know, the legends who, you know, and the pioneers who really paved the way for this thing?
I think it's extremely important to know the history of the music. There is new school and there is old school, but without having that old school, the new school wouldn't be here. You know what I mean? So paying homage to those artists that came before us, to me, is a respect thing, and respect is big in the culture, let alone in the industry.
100% on that, man. 100%, you know, to know your past is to know your future, right?
True that.
And 100%. I mean, even go back further, right? Like, how you saying, to the 70s and all the Motowns and the, you know, the Curtis Mayfields and you know, the Miles Davises and understand where, you know, hip-hop got a lot of these samples, the James Browns and stuff, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, and once they realize, oh, okay, you know, then the reality seems a little bit better, right? Because a lot of people think, like, you know, a lot of these artists, that's their riffs and instrumentation on those songs, right? Where they don't realize they just jacking for beats, Ice Cube, you know what I mean? Right? They're just jacking for beats, right? And that's part of the culture, you know what I mean? Jacking for beats, right?
Yes, yes.
And taking something that was old and making it fresh, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, hip-hop is definitely, I mean, there's obviously a lot of artists that don't sample, but I would say hip-hop is definitely the kings of sampling, you know? And
well, that's what was created, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like they took the back and forth, right? You know what I mean? On the decks, right?
Uh-huh.
The left, the right. And then, you know, they're like, oh, I don't have to do that anymore. There's this thing called a sampler, you know, the rolling W30, you know? And I can get 30 seconds. And, well, you know, we only need 6 or 3 or 4 or 5 back then, right? You know? Nowadays, you know, you got Primo and stuff, you know, chopping them up in little segments, right? And playing them, you know, on the pads and stuff, right? So you got a different perspective of the sounds and stuff. But, yo, man, hip-hop, you know, we here to stay, man. So what's new with you here, Eclipse?
Man, okay, so.
My man's excited.
Let's get into it. So the company, we have been doing a ton of local shows trying to give new artists a chance to get developed, give them space and to perform, give them opportunities to be able to get their names out there without having to charge anybody anything, without making anyone sell any tickets, and we pay our artists to come out and do stuff. Recently, we have been running shows at the Turf in Surrey. We had just started running a rap competition, a hip-hop rap competition at the Brownsville in Surrey, which consists of four shows. The final, the winner gets an opportunity to be on one of our bigger shows coming up this summer, which we'll talk about in a little bit, as well as a grand prize of $1,000. So it's been turning out to be a good thing.
Show me the money.
Before the end of summer, we should be at four different clubs around the Lower Mainland that we'll be throwing shows at. And, you know, we're just trying to build a community and get the people out there, man, giving everybody equal opportunities.
I like that word. Right there,
equality,
equal opportunity.
Equality is something we mandate.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. As far as the music goes, it's been about 8 months since I put anything out, I think. But I got an album that I'll be releasing at the end of July, and it might be my last solo album. I just ain't announced it yet, so y'all are the first to know this might be my last solo album that I'll be doing. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to just being on the business side of things now, man, and giving everybody else a
this
chance
man
to step
like
up.
Sounding like Jay-Z right now.
He's
going into retirement.
All of a sudden,
that album.
I'll never retire. Never retire. Just might not do no more solo stuff.
Mm-hmm. So you got any features on that album?
On this new album coming up? Yeah, I got a lot of features coming out on it, man. A lot of it's a little bit of a secret, but as far as local guys, I have Namilla, I got my boy Scoop. I got Mr. Exquimote from Victoria. I got Jeebs from Midnight Society from Jeebs. The island. And I'm working with a few others, man. A couple other names that will be dropping as the releases start coming out.
Well, that's definitely peace, bro. It sounds like it's going to be
fire.
You guys want to try this again, though?
I think I could try this again.
Okay.
Let's try it again.
Let's get it popping, man. Right. One Order Radio, 6 o'clock, Blitz.
Burnaby, SFU.
90.1
FM.
Fuck you talking about? Dawn, Mathematics, Killer Allen. Yeah. Fuck all my enemies. I catch you coming out the hallway again. I'ma smack rock inside of your jaw, nigga. Bang, bang, you dead, nigga. Word up, that's my word, yo. Stupid.
Some hardship of convicts getting messy in the marsh pit. Groovy chick take hits of Led Zeppelin guitar picks. Talk shit, then I speak with an iron stick. Instincts I rely on quick. Welcome to the lion's pit. Ears up in attack mode. The strangers in these back roads. Think tank, crack codes. Lights out, black hole. The power of words can run up in your stronghold. Easy access, now you're staring down my gun hole. Look at my sun go, distributing bundles. Now we living in the sun glow. Territorial rap beef will be our defeat. Follow critics on YouTube's lose ability to eat. Open your eyes to a glorious view, so scenic, the chosen few. Witness the slow rise of the Wu-Tang Phoenix. Jars of lemongrass and hands bars you can repeat. 16-bar melters, barbecue your headpiece.
That's right, keep the gun concealed. I deal with a struggle real, real. I seen addicts pursue the hit and never touch a meal. For that bread, trail of bloodshed like a bucket spill. Seen them with bubbles on the grill, shit got cut with steel. Funeral ballad keys, my glimpses of reality. That Queen's criminal mentality be running wild on me. Juveniles in the lab like niggas doing alchemy. Ain't no in-betweens, it's execution the style for green. Real mechanic under that hood like a Valvoline. Drink connects are how they stacking their valves mean. Witness a balance over cheddar. Now the niggas laying waste for the system of waste. Balances and measures. Better invest in the best for the pressure. Pictures on mirrors of niggas on rack. Is Allen on the dresser. Best in the king here. Met up with treacherous endeavors. Where he got zipped up and passed and carried on the stretcher. And
catfish and closed casket. Decrepit buildings. Pissy mattress. We did back handstands. Triple back flips. Slap box. Knuckle checks. Belt buckles and ass whips. They had a crush on Freaky Kiki. F boosting ass bitch. Spicy, sticky, rice, veggie. Spot from the roadie spot. Frida had a fatty patty. A man had a plenty rock. Benz with the Beamer Mia, come up with the Kia. Used to walk around the corner so that nobody would see a red stripes and get a stout, stout curry balls, spin his pouch, long line on the corner, nigga looking like it's in and out. Indian, Haitian, black, reaching for his heat to cook the beef, fire truck screeching, hit the signs running down the street. Sexy signs will always have that baby mama drama. 35 without a man, I call that baby mama karma. Comma, comma, chameleon, Wu-Tang. It's for the children. We enter the frontier of your mind. Exploit like a pilgrim, ghetto living. Burnt beans and greasy chicken. On the back of the milk box, it looks like little TT is missing. A hard head makes a soft ass. Blast, blast. You better learn. Study Silky Susie out there. Just to spread a germ. Nutty peanut with smoke dust. Go out there. Beat his pops. Walk the block. Boxer shorts looking crazy. Dainty socks. High as the kite.